Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Youth basketball is often disorganized, focused solely on winning, and generally frustrating. But at PSB, we strive to provide a more professional experience for parents, players, and coaches, one focused on organized communication, fun, mutual respect, and personal growth on and off the court. So today, we have a fun debate coming to you guys. We have a topic that has come up in the office here. So joining me, I have two special guests, PSB co-founder Logan Kosmalski sitting to my right. Welcome.
Hello, Christian.
And across the table from me, we have director of PSB Charlotte, Chris Goodrum. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, so Logan has a story that I'll let you get into in a minute to kind of jumpstart this podcast, talking about fan behavior, what is and is not appropriate, and just kind of taking a moment to look at the people sitting in the stands as opposed to the people on the court, because I don't feel like we always get those attention on those people unless something crazy happens. So we'll let Logan jump us off with an interesting story, and then we'll let the conversation build from there.
Well, fan behavior has always been a really interesting topic for me as a psychology major in college. But so the story came up of a local coach here in the area that got into a fight after a game with a fan that had been heckling him throughout the game. And I think it's easy to look back and say, that's really inappropriate. The coach shouldn't have done that and blah, which is correct probably. Mm-hmm. But it's also too, it's interesting to look at it. Like, what makes it okay for people to act the way that they act in the stands, do things that are really inappropriate that would be really condemned anywhere else in American society, but at sporting events, it's okay. Normal people doing things that they would never do outside of the sports arena. So I think it's just a fascinating topic to begin with, but I also think it's important that we look at it from that standpoint of like, man, am I one of those people? Why do I do this? Why do I feel like it's okay to go to a game and just berate another human being when I would never do that outside of my normal life?
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure what was said, but I also think, it really doesn't matter. So that was just kind of the question I would throw out to you guys and to Chris, and, you know, what makes people think that they can go to sporting events and act in certain ways?
Yeah, it's a really interesting conversation to kind of pull yourself off of the bench and put yourself on a seat next to fans, and I find it interesting to do that when I'm sitting in a gym watching games. It's just go cozy up next to parents and just kind of be a part of the moment. I think for a fan, someone who is passionate, whether it's a family member, whether it's just someone that's really close to them, I think as a fan, you're just stripped of any social norms, and it gets very tribal when you sit in the stands, and it's been built up as a gladiator type sport, just these people watching this competitive physical game, be it basketball or football or soccer or anything, and so it's something for fans to latch onto, to associate with, to find pride in, to put their namesake on as hey, this is my fanhood, this is my fandom. And when that happens, when you strip yourself of just the social norms, we do the darndest things.
Sorry, Christian, but just he brought up the point of tribalism and, you know, the point of a disinhibition, like lowering your inhibitions when you're in a certain environment. And like you said, it's been going on for centuries, even back into the days of the gladiators and people going in and cheering for somebody to get killed. You know, I think we've progressed a little bit beyond that, but it does bring up a good point or a question, as a matter of fact, like, is it a good thing? Is it a good thing that we have sports that allow us to go out and release these emotions, or... You know what I mean? So
that's a good point.
If we didn't have sports to do it, would it just build up, or is sports a necessary outlet for people to release these emotions and these frustrations?
Well, and I think even looking back, like historically speaking, like the origins of sports and going to a Coliseum and watching those gladiators fight, I do think it was an outlet for people early on to watch, like, this physicality and this brutality, almost like where you're entertained, but you're also like kind of it's kind of this fine line. Like football, like it's such a gruesome sport, but it's also so entertaining. Mm-hmm. Like I think our nature as human beings, and looking back historically at like the Greek Olympics and stuff, like it was a lot of physical things. And I do think it is. And I think that's an interesting point. Yeah. Like I do think it's an outlet. However, I wanted to add to it, maybe more kind of asking y'all's opinion here. Do you think it's based on a level at all of, I don't know if ignorance is the right word. Let me pose it this way. I feel that the more people I know that have played higher and higher levels of the sport are less likely to be that fan screaming in the stands because they've either been in that locker room or been on that floor and they have a better understanding of situationally what's happening in the game or also what it's like to be a player. And I feel more often that you see fans, the crazy fans, are the ones that didn't actually play at a really high level to understand what it's like to be on that stage with that pressure and be a player.
There's some interesting psychological terms for, you know, the feeling that you get where you identify with your team. So like when I watch a game and my team wins, I feel good about myself.
Which is weird.
It is a little bit weird, but I think in my situation when I played at a higher level, I kind of learned to get past like, this is not my identity. I wouldn't latch onto that as a fan and say like, well, how my team does affects the way that I feel about myself and my self-worth, when I think a fan that maybe hasn't gotten to that point still identifies with like, man, the Browns lost again, I feel terrible about myself, or they won and that makes me feel really good about myself. So there are interesting psychological terms around that, but right or wrong, I mean, who can really tell?
Well, and I think it's interesting when you look at, for the most part, you know, we live in a world where collaboration is necessary, where we need to be able to engage with one another and converse and have mutual respect. And yes, that should be on the playing field or court as well. But you know, Logan, you said you feel good when your team wins because you have associated yourself, you have put yourself in with that team and connected everything, every fiber of you to that team, and it's us versus them, no matter what, right? And so when you talk about all these different body systems, you know, when you go back to the oldest part of the brain, the limbic system, which is known as the lizard brain, which is pretty much all a lizard has, that's in charge of fight, that's in charge of, you know, feeding, it's in charge of running away, it's in charge of everything intentional everything that's built inside of you that your body is telling you to do at a certain heightened emotional state, right? And so when you talk about fans, everything's stripped down except for that very primitive part of the brain, which is us versus them. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah. And but for some people, for others, it's not.
Yeah.
So why, you know, well, how come some people are able to get to that point when others aren't? And I think that was Christian's initial point when he brought up this topic, is why does it affect some people more than it does others?
Yeah, and I think like trying to figure that out, I don't know that it solves anything, but maybe it can help bring awareness around it. But I think staying on topic with the coach getting in a fight with the fan, right? Like that's kind of where this originated. I think another interesting side to this is I think it is a societal norm for fans to scream. I think it's normal at a sporting event to yell and to voice your opinion loudly because there's so many people in the stands and it's almost kind of like masked. It's almost like a anonymous, almost like you're on social media. But what is the responsibility then on the flip side of the coach or player who is being berated? Like, is it just always turn the other cheek?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the ultimate debate. I would like to think that we're approaching a time when, you know, maybe social media is making it worse. But you know, I don't think there's any problem with fans in the stands cheering for their teams, yelling for the other team to miss. Mm-hmm. But when you make a personal attack or cursing at other players, like you're losing your appreciation for that other. That is another human being that has feelings, that you know, has value and worth, and for that is where I see the issue with fan behaviors, where like when that gets stripped down and me and the fans, I feel like I can personally attack this person and I can throw water bottles at a high school basketball player or whatever, like that reaches a level that I think I hope that we're evolving past.
Yeah. And I hope that there's individuals in the stands that have the confidence and the self-awareness just to stand up and speak for what should be done and what is right. That the beauty of sports is there's so much white noise of this fan screaming this and this fan screaming that, but it's all mutually respectful and within the guardrails of what is okay to do. Mm-hmm. But once anyone jumps those guardrails, that there are individuals in place that can stand up and say, hey, that's, we don't do that here. And I think that's what we're missing a lot of, is kind of this bystander effect that, that's not my responsibility to do.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of the bystander effect for about the last 5 minutes we've been talking about. I was thinking, like, I know there's like a psychological term to, like, just being in a crowd and not wanting to be the one to stand up and say, hey, why are you screaming that? But to Logan's point, I think it's interesting looking at professional players and attacking them personally. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting because, like, let's look at a Russell Westbrook for instance. I think it was 2 years ago in Utah, he got in an altercation with a fan that was screaming at them. And it's pretty well known that the fans up in Utah are pretty loud about their opinions. Russell Westbrook was saying, like, this fan was saying something to him that he didn't feel like portrayed him correctly. And I think in his after-game speech, he was saying, like, I'm a good dude off the court. Like, I play with a lot of ferocity on the court. I'm very into it. Mm-hmm. But he was like, that's not who I am. I think we attack people, we attack players based on their sports identity, right, not on who they are as a person. So when we're coming at Russell Westbrook saying, oh, you're mean, you're this, that, and that, he could be the nicest guy ever off the court. He just plays hard on the court. And so I think we've got to find the balance of, like you said, realizing that they are no different than you and I. They're a little more athletic. They've spent a little more time playing this game. They've perfected it. But they're a human with the same thoughts and emotions. They cry, we cry. They bleed, we bleed. Like, if we can start to get people to realize that, I think we can move away from the personal attacks.
And I think one thing we should stipulate, too, is, like, this is hard. You know, like, I go to games, and my brother's a college coach, and when I'm watching his games, I'm like, I get fired up. And I would never make things personal. I think that's a different level. But I do – sometimes you do feel that – energy and emotion can get the best of
you. But I think that's good. I think, like you said, that's an outlet. Mm-hmm. I think that's the advantage of being a sports spectator, is you get to attach to something bigger than you. Yeah. That's not your identity. And you get to, but yeah, can we define those guardrails of, hey, you just don't jump over that line, you know?
Yeah. And I saw a video clip of Isaiah Thomas a few weeks ago. He went into the stands and just told some guys, like, don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
I
looked
crazy.
Them in the eye and was like, just don't say that. And I think that's... You know, I think, like Chris said, there needs to be more bystanders that, hey, this is what's appropriate in this arena, and this is what is not. I see it at high school games and college games now. They're making the announcement of personal attacks and any racist attacks or sexual threats or anything will not be tolerated. I think that's a great step. But I also think, too, on the individual basis, it's people need to start doing some self-reflection on, you know, am I one of these people? What are... But just to go and let your emotions take control of you and act however you want to act, I hope, again, that we're evolving past that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But we were at a tournament probably in 1st November, and there's a fourth grade team playing, and the fans are sitting right next to the court, and there's a fourth grader had a really good play, a really hard, aggressive defensive play. No foul was called. And the other team, who's sitting under the basket, is getting into and berating this fourth grader, right? Like, and the fourth grader's mom is asking them, "Hey, that's my son. Like, there's no need to do that. Cheer for your kids." And it just made me really think through, as a fan, is my passion, is the way that my passion is manifesting itself outwardly, is it adding a positive spin to kind of the game and kind of the environment of the fans around me and the players, or am I doing something that is detrimental both to the people around me and to the person that I'm screaming at, especially when we talk about youth basketball, right? When we talk about changing the game of basketball and creating this professional experience, how are our fans, how are our families, how are our parents and family members, how are their actions helping to exude that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know.
Yeah, I think most importantly, what we should clarify here is we don't have the answers or all the solutions to this, We rather are here to discuss and talk about these things, and I think more discussion will lead to more answers. Yeah. And I think we found a few answers just from discussing right here. Like, can we start to establish those guardrails? Can we figure out what the fine line is of you've gone too far? And I think a pretty clear line is like, just don't attack anyone personally. Yeah. Unless it is your brother on the court and you know him and he misses a shot and you're like, yeah, I've seen you miss that shot in the driveway 8,000 times. Like, if you know them, you could come at them. But 99.8% of the times, it's the fan doesn't know that player on a personal level. And I think you make an interesting point. That's someone's son or daughter, you know? Like, think about your – or that's someone's brother or something. Like, think about your brother or your – like, just why would you want anyone close to you to be talked to like that? So then why would you then go yell at someone? Yeah. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what their life looks like. And they missed the shot, and now you're telling them they're the worst human being on the planet because they missed an open three.
Yeah. Or think about, would I be doing this if I weren't in a sports arena?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would I go to Starbucks and berate the barista for – missing up my drink, like I berate my favorite basketball
player. That
would
make Starbucks an interesting place.
But I mean, again, you just, I think it's important people question themselves, and just, that's what we wanted to do here. We're not, I don't have a solution for this issue, but I think just asking interesting questions and talking about different aspects of fan behavior is really interesting.
I think self-reflection is a good way to look at it. Yeah. If you can self-reflect on it and you're aware of it and you're like, yeah, that was okay to say, then good. I think there's some clear ones where you're like, wow, okay. Yeah, I got a little too in the moment.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out that fine line.
And if you can't, how I mean, was that coach wrong for going up into the stands and causing a
fight? Yeah, I think, let's conclude this conversation with kind of getting to the bottom of that right there. Was he wrong with going into the stands? I guess I would need to know exactly what was said, but I'll make my point here. I think no matter what is said, unfortunately, however heinous it is, as a coach, even more than a player, I just think you have to be the bigger person in that equation, and you have to unfortunately turn the cheek, and you have to set that example for your players.
Yeah. But don't you think saying that puts them at a disadvantage to just be berated and screamed at all the time? I think if you're going to go and you're going to make something personal, like just like I would do on the streets, if I'm going to go into a sports arena, I better be prepared for the consequences that come at me if I throw a water bottle at Ron Artest.
Yeah, I agree. I think fans should kind of know how things can unravel quickly if they want to bring that type of negative energy into how they display their fandom. I think also as a coach or a player or an administrator or anyone that is represented by the schools or the organizations that are playing, there are proper channels to go about doing those things. Otherwise, you do have a potential malice in the palace, right? And so as a coach, you have the AD there, right? As a coach, you have security, police officers, different types of staff or personnel to help you, so your focus can truly be on being the coach of your team and not trying to be a bodyguard or a bouncer of the fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all in all, fellas, this conversation is far from over, and I think we could gladly sit back down here and do a part two, part three of this, and I hope we do. I'd encourage anyone listening right now to reach out to us, connect with us on social media at ProSkills Basketball, on Twitter at ProSkills B-Ball. Send us a direct message on your thoughts on it, and we'll take those thoughts, and we'll do a part two of this here, and we can kind of put it in with some feedback from our community and our audience, because I think we're looking for any direction for answers and kind of how can we maybe implement that into what we're doing here to help educate our parents, and hopefully that spreads to other parents and whatnot. So thanks for joining me for the podcast today, fellas. That was good. That was a good conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
It's good to talk about it.
Yeah, man. Well, everybody stay tuned. We've got more content coming your way, and thanks for being with us.